You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Dr. Melody Fox right here on LA Talk Radio.
Edition of Answers of the Family. I am your host today, Dr. Melody Fox. Alan Cardoza is off today. He is on a case and wishes you a wonderful week, and we'll be returning next week. Each week, one or both of us will bring you guests that can inspire, educate, and entertain while bringing answers and options to raising children today and in our constantly changing future. We address many great ways to keep your family mentally and physically and spiritually healthy, and combined, we have over 50 years' experience working with families in crisis and have been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in many of the helping fields who are all working to make this world a better place for all of us. We will continue to bring some of these incredibly talented and caring people each week as we bring to you Answers for the Family. Now, our guest today is Coach Yvonne Bustamante. She has over 20 years' experience working in the counseling industry with adults, children, families, and groups. She has a master's in psychology, has completed certification programs in health and wellness coaching, life coaching, fitness trainer education, and much more. Her years of experience have been spent assisting people with developing and improving their life skills with the emphasis on mental health and well-being. And as a result, she has created her own company called 3 Degrees of Fitness to provide professional coaching services and products to help motivate people achieve ultimate wellness, all in mental, physical, and social fitness. So they all live a life filled with health, peace, and happiness. So today's topic is about raising happy, healthy, and confident children. And Yvonne, Coach Yvonne, yes. Welcome to Answers for the Family.
Thank you. So happy to be here.
Well, I'm thrilled that you're here to be with us because I'm familiar with your company and I love what you represent and what you do. And I know I just mentioned a little bit about 3 Degrees, and you call your fitness program or your coaching program 3 Degrees of Fitness. Can you break down what the 3 Degrees are and what they mean?
Absolutely. Well, the short answer, the 3 Degrees, is the mental, physical, and social fitness. So all those aspects that make us who we are. And kind of the longer answer is that the number 3 represents many things, mm-hmm. For myself and for my business, but really all revolved around achieving ultimate wellness. And with the number 3, it represents simplicity, balance, and strength. You know, like a 3-legged stool or a cord that's made up of 3 strands.
Okay.
And then the other aspect of the 3 degrees is that the foundation of what I teach, what the coaching program, is about the 3 R's of ultimate wellness.
Which are
respect, responsibility, and reciprocity.
Okay.
So there again, it's teaching, I teach in threes, and I teach in threes to keep things simple, mm-hmm. balanced, but yet strong and significant. So, when we can take things in little bite-sized pieces, we tend to absorb more and it becomes more meaningful and significant to us.
And you also have 3 degrees of nutrition too, don't you?
Yes, 3 degrees of nutrition. My 3 R's for that are replace, reduce, and replenish. So that's kind of a little simple thing to remember when you're making food choices. It's like, okay, what can I do here? What can I replace that's a healthier choice? Or, mm-hmm. How can I eat a little bit less of something? Because we all like our little treats now and then, and that's okay. But, you just don't have to eat the whole thing.
Right. Well, what I really like is that you really combine all the components of what makes a person healthy. And I think that's wonderful, the 3 degrees of fitness or wellness or whatever you want to call it, because you bring it all together. Now, with that idea of mind and fitness, where does the parenting come in?
A great question. And it is about expanding people's definition of the word fitness, too. We associate it straight away with just physical health, but also mental health. Mm-hmm. And with the parenting aspect, what I found was I taught parenting, I still teach it, but I taught mainly on the mental and social fitness aspects of parenting for 20 years. And, parents made tremendous strides and had great success in their family and were very happy with what they learned. And but with that, what I found when I did my own personal transformation on the physical fitness side, I lost weight, a significant amount of weight over 8 years ago, and it had such a profound impact in all areas of my life. And that personal transformation combined with some of the startling and staggering statistics these days on childhood obesity, I just found that I've got to combine that somehow with the parenting. Mm-hmm. That's got to fit in because, I mean, we need to eat to live, and that's such an important aspect of not just our physical health, but what we choose to eat also affects our emotional well-being as well and our social
well-being. Well, you say eat to live, and I keep thinking, well, I love to live to eat. So do I have that backwards here?
Well, yeah, and that's kind of the American way, and that's what we've been socialized to do. It's like things, social activities. A lot of times I know the family that I belong to, it's very big on food. Mm-hmm. You know, social events revolve around food. So, hence, most people in my culture are overweight, and it's fun family events, but it can have a toll on you physically if you don't pay attention.
So I was just curious because you were talking about, you know, things revolving around the family, revolves around food. I know one of the things we talk a lot about on the show is how important it is to sit down to family dinners and have that family time, because mm-hmm. statistics show if you sit down to eat together, your children are more likely to communicate with you. You're going to know what's going on with them. There's routine. They're less likely to get into trouble. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of positives about sitting down around food at the dinner table and having that time. So how do you fit that in?
So true. And it starts with, which I didn't use to promote this before until I learned all about nutrition and health and that side of wellness. I did promote having the family dinners, like you said, because it promotes that communication and all that good stuff. But now it starts with preparing the meals together in the kitchen.
Okay.
Because that's a big part of eating healthy too, is you know what you're putting into your body, you're familiar with the foods, and get your kids involved. They want to help. They like to help. Mm-hmm. And then they learn to prepare their own healthy meals. So it's a good form of parenting and role modeling in that way when you can start there. You mm-hmm. know, you start at the grocery store. You know, that's you see a lot of those tantrums happening in the grocery store. Well, get the kid involved in helping you pick out the foods and find the stuff in the grocery store. You start there and all the way to the kitchen table.
Yeah, and I know that, you know, you have a parenting program and some focus on some aspects other than others, but you do what you have about like six central things that you focus on?
I do. I wanted to create a holistic approach, and so I've broken it down into six areas of our life, and the six areas I have are the financial, the physical, the intellectual, social, emotional, and spiritual.
Okay. Can you talk a little bit more about each component of, say, how does the financial fit into the parenting?
What I learned with financial, when I was working on the financial aspects for myself, is that there's a lot of emotion tied in with money and how we think about money and how we handle money. And so teaching, when you learn it early on, you're much better at it as an adult at managing money and being responsible. So that's what I wanted to bring to families, is to teach parents to pass that on to their children early on, mm-hmm. so they can learn financial responsibility and learn about money and not have the negative emotional connection to money that can happen when, you know, you don't learn the habits early on.
Yeah, and I find that interesting because I know working with teenagers and young adults, some of them don't even know how to do a checking account. And I know for me, I took, when I take, I was bored one one semester, and I think I took home ec. So, and they taught you how to do checking accounts besides sewing and baking and cooking. It's like, oh, well, whatever. But, you know, they actually sat down and taught you how to do a checking account. I don't think they even have home ec classes anymore and teach people those basic skills. So it is important for part of the family and part of a parent's, I would say, responsibility then is to teach children how to be fiscally responsible, how to do checking accounts, how to not get caught up in those credit cards that start coming to them when they're 18 and mm-hmm. in college, how to manage that. So that's one part of your parenting is the financial aspect. What about the physical? How do you get your kids physical if they don't want to be?
There's always a way. So it's about finding, just like when I work with just adults individually on their physical fitness, is finding what's fun for you, mm-hmm. you know, and what you're willing to do, is finding what your child enjoys and what's fun for them. You know, do they like being outdoors? Do they like team sports? And some of that, you know, yeah, initially they may not like it, but to encourage that and have them explore and find different things mm-hmm. and until they find the ones that they want, and then you encourage more of that.
That's interesting what you said. Allow them to explore different things and until they find the one that they want, because I find often what I hear is, oh, I put them in dance and they did it for two times and then they quit, and then they tried Taekwondo and then they quit, and then they wanted to play golf and I invested in all these clubs and they quit that. So it's like probably better to rent equipment.
That's a good advice, yes.
At least until you find a sport that they find a passion for and go, yeah, I can't wait to get to softball practice or soccer or to the tennis court or whatever it is, or fencing, or, you know, whatever they decide to do. So
sure. And I know I've been guilty of that for myself. It's like I get all excited about getting all outfitted for the sport, and then I realize, this really isn't my sport, and I've spent all that money. But yeah, parents definitely do that as well with their kids.
Right.
And that's, you know, what I offer with the parent coaching too, is helping parents find that balance of how long to commit to something mm-hmm. with their child, because it's, yeah, too. Going to two classes isn't probably going to be enough. Mm-hmm. So helping them find what is a long enough time for them to really explore and really see whether or not they like that, and that's their thing. Because yeah, sometimes we don't like things initially because it's new and, you know, we don't feel good at it, we don't feel competent. But once we start practicing mm-hmm. and get better at things, that's when we tend to like it. So you got to give it somewhat of that investment.
Yeah, and yeah. I know for kids, and especially teenagers, I know, you know, having them, say, sign up for a group for a year, it's like, oh, my God, a year, I can't do that. But if you could do it for a semester, mm-hmm. if you could do it just for a few months and give it a try, you know, commit to, like, 3 months, and then if you don't want to continue, fine. If you want to continue, great. So, you know, what kind of time frames do you come up with, or what do you recommend for parents?
You actually mentioned a really good one, like 3 months. Semester tends to be 3 months, but yeah, and class, it depends. Mm-hmm. And that's what I really focus on too. I like to give a lot of one-on-one attention to my parents and to my clients, because I feel like it's really individual, and some programs, 6 weeks is enough to figure it out. Mm-hmm. Others, you need 6 months to figure it out if that's the right fit for you.
Okay. And so that's the physical side. And intellectual is one of them.
Yes. Now, the intellectual is about, obviously, the things that they're learning in school is part of their intellectual, but also what are they exposed to at home? You know, what kinds of TV shows are they watching? What kinds of books are encouraged? That's part of your intellectual. What kinds of conversations are going on in the family at the dinner table? Mm-hmm. And the other aspect of the intellectual that as adults we tend to forget for ourselves, but children have it down, and that's having fun. I think that's an important part of our intellectual development, is having fun. So encouraging that. Children, that's how they learn and grow, is mm-hmm. through play.
Right. And doing developmental work with younger children too. It's like they do learn through playing, through imitation, role playing, etc. So yeah, play. It's very stimulating. Gets those brain and neurons, everything focused there.
Gets stuff firing. You're feeling happy. Happy juices flowing.
Like that. So that kind of falls right into one of your next categories that you work with parents is the social aspects.
Yes, the social aspect. I believe that we as human beings, we're social beings, and we need that connectedness with each other. And so that's an important skill, and I think it is a skill that we learn. And you know, you hear, especially as children get older and get into the preteen and teens, parents are worried about the choices their children are making regarding their friends. And so that's part of the social wellness aspect of it is how to encourage your children to make good choices in those areas and pick the right friends for themselves. So
and you talk about pick the right friends for themselves, and it has me thinking about our new social media and Facebook. And I think we interviewed somebody a while back, and I think I've seen in print as well that, you know, if teenagers have less than 200 friends, then they aren't well liked and well perceived in their social network. But if they have too many, then like more than 300 or so, then they're not picky enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just keep thinking about friends and that social media. I mean, things have changed. I'm not sure how old you are. I don't need to know. You look great whatever age you are.
Thank you.
But it's at least for my generation. You know, social networking meant you got out, you played, you went to people's houses, you interacted on that one-to-one face-to-face, and you learn a lot of social skills that way.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, it's all on text back and forth. They'll be sitting next to each other texting, you know, at the dinner table texting. Mm-hmm. They'll be on Facebook and friending people there, and look at all my friends, and everybody knows what we're doing and everything else. So, you know, and that becomes a big power struggle for parents to find that balance in their, especially with their teens or their young teens, about connecting socially with other people, because people of my generation and even a couple either way, we both feel and know the importance of that face-to-face communication. How do you help parents deal with that balance?
Good point. I'm going to say I'm old school. I'm not that old. I like to think of myself as young. But, really, it's about the basics. And that's what I want to get parents back to, is back to the basics. Like you said, we need to have that face-to-face time, not texting all the time. So, yeah, I'm going to encourage parents to have their children develop relationships with the face-to-face time. I mean, I think the other stuff can be helpful and there's benefits to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
But there still needs to be that balance. We still need to have that face-to-face time. It's the same with nutrition. It's the basics, you know, eating your fruits and vegetables. It's basic.
And trying them enough times so your taste buds can get used to it.
And that's exactly it. Yeah, you do need your taste buds to adjust. If you've been eating poorly or, you know, a lot of processed foods, your taste mm-hmm. buds do need that period to adjust.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it's like the giving it long enough of a trial till you find that, oh, yeah, this is good. I like it.
Okay.
I want more.
Just like I love the ballet or whatever it is.
Yes.
So you also have another category, emotional. How do you help parents focus on that as one of the areas that you work on?
One of my favorite lessons here on the emotional aspect is about teaching parents the difference between praise and encouragement. And
there's a difference?
Yes, there's a big difference. And using encouragement, it's such a powerful, tremendous tool for building one's confidence and self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a big part of your emotional growth or your emotional fitness and strength is your sense of yourself and your own sense of confidence and self-worth, so that when your children are out there and, you know, their peers are giving them some negative feedback, that they have the resilience and they can handle that and they have the fortitude to get through it.
How could you give me an example on how a parent would encourage somebody? Say they have a child that's playing maybe a freshman in high school, and they used to be a big wig in junior high school on the softball team, but now they're on, you know, the peewee on the team, the smallest kid on the team, and not seen as a slugger as they used to be. How would a parent encourage them to keep going, knowing that they'll eventually grow into being a sophomore, junior, you know, senior, and have the body and stamina as some of the other people they're playing with?
Great question. And yeah, it's about, one of the big differences is encouragement is about focusing on their strengths and on the process along the way. Like you mentioned, you know, they're starting out kind of all over again, mm-hmm. and they're going to build their way up just like they did in their younger years, you know, when they built themselves up to the point of being the superstar in junior high, mm-hmm. they can do the same thing with starting high school. It takes time to build yourself up to that position. So it's about focusing on their strengths and the process along the way, whereas praise is something that waits until you've already made the accomplishment and then you get kudos for it.
Now, do you need to accomplish something to get praise, or is it important to give praise just for the attempt of trying, in your opinion?
Yeah, that is the difference. Encouragement is that positive feedback for the attempts, whereas praise is something you give once they've already accomplished something. And it's usually about your perception of the accomplishment, whereas encouragement, you're really tapping into what's their perception of the accomplishment or the movement towards the final goal or accomplishment.
So what I hear you saying is that for the praise, it's your own parent's perception of how their children is doing. Mm-hmm. And the encouragement comes from the parent getting out of their own way and taking into account where the child is coming from, or the teenager is coming from, or however old their child is. It could be 40.
Yes.
But, you know, still taking yourself and your own ego out of it and taking a look from the child's point of view.
Yes.
Okay, to help reinforce that.
Yes, exactly. And thank you for mentioning the age 40, because, yes, this is something we need throughout our lives. Is, you know, don't stop. Is encourage people whenever you can.
Yeah, and parents sometimes stop doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's times in the teens and the early 20s where kids don't want to hear it, but then eventually I find they come back around and go, yeah, my parents were pretty smart. They were pretty right on with that.
Sure.
Now just take a moment here for the sixth area that you work on with parents is the spiritual side. Why spiritual?
Because that is a side of us. We are spiritual beings. And that is something so very personal. So, you know, again, that's an individual thing. So working with the family on whatever their practices are and what's important to them on the individual spiritual side. But with that, what's also attached to that, that's one of the three R's, the reciprocity, because with most spiritual communities, there's a big component of volunteering and having that community involvement. Mm-hmm. So that's the spiritual aspect that I focus more on is okay, what's your community involvement? Mm-hmm. What's your way of giving back to the community and volunteering and having that exchange of receiving and giving?
Yeah, and I really have to say, I like how you've gone through all the different areas. It is very holistic, and I think, you know, some curriculums about parenting don't cover all that. So I'm just wondering, whose curriculum are you using, or where did you get the lessons from which you teach in the courses that you do?
I, over the 20 years that I've been doing this, it's from my own collection of people that I've studied, experiences that I've had with families, experiences that I've had personally. Mm-hmm. So it's pulling from all of that, my years of study and practice with families and individuals. And as far as like with the parenting, I'll just give you a few examples. Mm-hmm. With discipline strategies, that's primarily from the work of Alfred Adler, a psychologist. Yes, he's one of my favorites as well. And as far as the nutrition's concerned, Dr. Joel Fuhrman and others like him that's where I pull a lot of the nutritional information from. And again, it's Dr. Furman is really, it's back to the basics. That's mm-hmm. kind of his philosophy. And then the financial, I studied finances for several years. I actually worked in the finance industry for a few years. So with that, some of the my favorite experts from that industry, David Bach, he's written a lot of the like Start Late, Finish Rich series, the Finish Rich series, mm-hmm. the Automatic Millionaire. But he just breaks it down so simply, and I like his methods. T. Harv Eker is another business expert, and there's many more. Mm-hmm. And then for the physical fitness, I study the NESTA, N-E-S-T-A, their study materials, and then there's Beachbody Trainers that I've learned a lot from, and their products. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's too many really to name, but what I want to say as far as what they all have in common for me is that I have personally used their lessons, their materials. I have personally applied it. I have also personally taught it to others and seen them have success. Mm-hmm. So I really see their methods as having a proven success track record. You know, they have a good history of consistent results. Mm-hmm. So that's why those are the ones that I tend to get most of my material from.
Yeah, and what you do is very succinct, and it's very, very logical, and it is very user-friendly, not only for those that are in your coaching business, but also in the parenting that are taking advantage of that. We're going to take a quick break. We are talking today to Yvonne Bustamante. She is the owner and founder of 3 Degrees of Fitness. She also does parenting, healthy parenting webinar courses, and she's got a free one coming out. We'll talk a little bit more about that, as our topic today is raising happy, healthy, and confident children in today's society. I'm Dr. Melody Fox, and we'll be back in a moment with more Answers for the Family.
Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shields specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Dr. Melody Fox right here on LA Talk Radio.
We are back from our quick commercial break. I'm Dr. Melody Fox, and again for Alan Cardoza, who is out on working a case today and will be back with us next week. Today we are talking to Yvonne Bustamante. She is the founder of 3 Degrees of Fitness, and our topic today is about raising happy, healthy, confident children in today's society. She's also the founder of a webinar series that she's doing, a 9-week healthy parenting webinar course, which we'll talk more about in a moment. But she's also she does a monthly free parenting webinar once a month. And Yvonne, can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yes, I'd love to. I want to put stuff out there for families. Maybe they just need a little quick tune-up or something like that. So I host these free webinars to offer valuable information and tips for parents and families. And also to give them a way to get to know me and know about coaching services. So if they want more, they can opt in for more.
Okay.
But if you know that 1 hour is enough, great. I'm happy to serve and give that information out.
Yeah, well, you've always been very generous with your information, your knowledge, which is something I really appreciate and like about you, and appreciate all the professionals that are willing to do that, because so many people try to keep everything close to their vest instead of just share it.
Yes, and there's so much I could share that, yeah, it's like...
Yeah, more than enough. So yes. You've been doing the free webinars for a little bit. What are some of the topics that you've been doing for parents in the past?
Well, I've done topics on discipline, so discipline that works to help parents with some effective tactics and strategies, mm-hmm. and topics on, I've done a whole series on, well, not series, but a free webinar on the encouragement versus praise, because mm-hmm. there's just so much to that I can teach for a whole hour on that. And then some other topics that are coming up are things on nutrition. So I'm going to cover, you know, all the free webinars. There'll be different ones on each of the six mm-hmm. areas that we just covered, like financially. So those are some of the ones coming up.
Okay. And what are the age children the lessons are geared for when you do the webinars?
Well, the like I said earlier, because I tend to stay focused on the basics. Mm-hmm. That means then that they can be applied at any age. So that's what I like about what I teach, is that you can pull from what I'm teaching and apply it to almost any age. I mean, I remember working with this one, and I learned this from working with one of my families. Mm-hmm. We were going through some communication techniques. And then she said, you know, I can use this with my husband. I thought, wow, she's absolutely right. And, you know, and her kids were little. They were like 3 and 5. So it's like, okay, she's so right. This is stuff that applies at any age. And, you know, when I work with you one-on-one, obviously I'm going to give you more targeted strategies mm-hmm. applied to your particular age child or children that you're working with. So, you know, that I can do that too, but the underlying principle is the same.
Okay, so what can parents expect to learn when they tune into your webinars?
Well, I try to cover as much as I can, because there's just so much great information that I want to put out there, and some of the things that I think cover a lot of areas. Communication tends to be a big one, mm-hmm. so I cover a lot on communication and what's... Because I think parents, a lot of times, our intention is there and we have the right motivation, but it's how we package something mm-hmm. that can be received either the way we want it to be received or not received the way we want it to be received.
So you say package is how we communicate it.
Yes.
Okay.
So helping parents maybe just make a little tweak in their wording or how they're presenting something to their child, so that way they're going to get the cooperation and the motivation mm-hmm. and, you know, get the response that they're looking for. Mm-hmm. And also with that, our communication, our language is also related to their self-esteem. So, you know, that's back to the three R's, that respect and responsibility. So speaking in a respectful manner and teaching children how to do the same for themselves.
Okay. So basically covering how to raise a happy, confident, and healthy child.
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, you're talking about the three R's of respect, responsibility, and reciprocity. And, you know, how much time is allotted for parents to learn that, those skills? Or perhaps on the webinars, can they connect with other parents during that? Or is it just you presenting on the web?
On the free webinars, it's just me giving you as much content as I possibly can within that time, mm-hmm. and that's why I've structured the 9-week series to give parents the time to interact with other parents.
Okay.
Because it's not just about... This is what I love about doing groups, that it's not just about me being the only expert. I found that we're all experts. We all have something to bring to the table. And when we have, you know, and again, that's part of the social fitness too, is that connectedness. When we connect with other parents, you know, they learn from each other. Mm-hmm. And so that's what the webinar series helps to promote is parents learning from each other, having that connection with one another. So it's a 90-minute, each course is a 90-minute session. So that way they get all the education, but they also have time for that connection with the other parents.
Okay, so if somebody's interested in your free webinar, when's the next free webinar? Do you have it scheduled?
It's not on the schedule yet. It'll be on the schedule this week.
Okay.
So if they just go to the website, it should be on the first page.
So what is the website? That would be helpful.
Okay. It's the number 3, degreesoffitness.com. So that's the number 3, degreesoffitness.com.
All right. And so 3 Degrees of Fitness, the name of your company, and then they just hit on parenting webinars?
It'll be posted on the first page. They'll see the list of webinars on the first page, so okay. Just make it simple there.
And you do the free webinar monthly, and then
yes.
You also have a 9-week course that you had mentioned briefly. Can you talk about the 9-week course and what that's about?
Yes, I have a 9-week course that's scheduled to start on March 14th, so mm-hmm. That's coming up in just a few weeks. And what they can do is they can also go to the website. They'll see a place to register for that. Mm-hmm. And let's see here. With the registration, I know what I wanted to say regarding the 9-week series.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things with doing groups, one of my experiences is that groups that are too large, I felt that parents didn't quite get enough out of the group, and there was, when there's too large of a group too, that we miss some of that connectedness that, mm-hmm. that I see is very beneficial. So I keep the group small,
mm-hmm.
and I found that a class size of about 15 is a really good size because it's enough, there's enough interaction there, but it's not too many that people don't get enough of what they need.
Mm-hmm.
So I keep the class size small. So if you miss the series on March 14th, if it's already full right now, there's still spaces available. So people are welcome to sign up. The series starts March 14th, and it's 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. It's a 90-minute course, and it runs through May. I think it's May 16th.
Okay, but they can look on your website.
May 16th, yes.
The series. And if they can't attend the webinar or your seminar that you're doing at that time, is there a way to see it later?
Yes, thank goodness for technology.
Okay.
I love this. And this is one of the things I'm excited about with getting to do a webinar, because I teach these classes locally in the community. And so if people missed a class, they'd miss the material, whatever was presented that day.
Mm-hmm.
But with our technology now, they don't have to, because the classes are recorded. So they can go back and listen to the recording. And with every class, there's a PowerPoint presentation. So they'll also see the slides that are with that particular class. There's also a parenting manual that comes with the class. So that's another way they can still have the material with them and get a chance to review. And so in essence, you really never miss a class.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a way they can still get all the classes. So no worries if you've got a vacation that week or whatever, something, you can't make it, you can still get the material and the information.
Well, that's great. And that is what's wonderful about technology these days. And speaking about technology, we do have a couple of listener questions that were sent to us. One is, as a yoga instructor and massage therapist, I believe that a variety of physical sports and practices do help jumpstart change and contribute to a much healthier lifestyle, especially reversing depression and stress. I'm very curious about your experience in this area.
I totally agree, and that's why the physical fitness is a component of the parenting that I teach, because yes, it affects us not just physically but emotionally as well. And as far as the putting it in threes, the physical aspect is having that balance of cardio, flexibility, and strength. So yoga is one of the things that I recommend very frequently, because it teaches you so many things, you know, the breathing, and it's just so incredibly valuable. And yeah, self-esteem. I think self-esteem is definitely promoted when we have a regular exercise program. I can't say enough about physical fitness.
And it changes the chemicals in your brain,
yes,
and you function better and you do feel better. Even if you don't feel very good, if you go out for a brisk walk around the block, just or even to the corner back, you're going to feel better than if you just sat on the couch for those 5 minutes or 10 minutes.
Absolutely.
So I'm just curious too, because sometimes, okay, so a parent really hasn't promoted all these things in, when their kid was younger. Now their kid's maybe 13, 14 years old. How do you get them excited about this?
It's still possible, so
okay.
don't give up. Have hope, parents, and that's one of the things that I'm excited to give the message, is that there is hope. I mean, it may take a little bit longer. That's the difference. You know, when they're younger, yeah, it's a little bit easier to kind of encourage them to move in a certain direction. But as they get older, I mean, I work with plenty of families that they were having trouble with their teens. But, it kind of goes back to that communication, just making some simple tweaks in their communication, how they package something, mm-hmm. and being there as a support for the parent and encouraging the parent to just be patient. And, you know, we human beings, we respond. And it doesn't matter what age we are, but if we're presented something in the right way, we respond.
Okay, so that's the key, is learning how to present things in the right way.
Yes.
Instead of getting into maybe that power struggle.
Exactly.
You know, you're going to go to baseball practice. No, I'm not. I'm going to go hang out with my friends at the mall. I was like, no, you're going to be doing this. So instead of that, presenting it in a different way.
Yes.
And actually using that as an example, how would, if a parent came to you and said, this is what I'm telling my kid, they have to go to practice, and they're saying, no, I'm not, even though you know that they would like to do it, but it is a power struggle thing. How would you have them reframe that?
Well, hopefully they've made an agreement early on, like we talked about before, that there's a 3-month commitment. So they signed up for this baseball program, mm-hmm. and they knew what it entailed, and this is part of what it entails. So a big part of it is being very matter of fact with things. It's like, okay, this is what you committed to. This is what you signed up for. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you follow through on it. And that's part of what takes the power struggle out of it a lot of times, is just when the parent steps back from the emotion,
okay.
and doesn't get emotionally attached to it, and then the kid can, okay, it's like they know they're supposed to do that. So just follow through. Just, you know, it's an hour out of your day. Do it.
So I bet you talk a lot to parents about the emotionality in which they speak and try to communicate with.
Yes. Yes. Because, again, when you can be in that matter-of-fact state, you get much more cooperation from your child than when you're in that emotional state. You're vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And the child knows it, and that's where you can more easily be manipulated, and, you know, the child can keep pushing your buttons because they know your buttons are on.
Oh, and they know it from a very early age,
oh,
don't
yes,
they?
Yes, they learn very early on. So when you're in that matter-of-fact state, that's where your buttons are in the off position.
Okay. I have another listener question or comment. It says, last year, my 16-year-old sat my husband and I down to talk about the stress levels in our own relationship. And I guess you would call this an aha moment, as his maturity level was a revelation. We let him lead the way, which has totally changed our lives, as well as his younger siblings, ages 10 and 8. We are making time to do activities together, such as volleyball, swimming, and yoga. Plus, he has us reading self-improvement books and taking time to have dinner together. And I'm a psychologist assistant who listens to Dr. Melody and Alan's show frequently. And the topic of having family, body, mind, and social integration is a family healer. So thank you. And she put her name Alice in Long Beach. So thank you, Alice in Long Beach. Usually we
yes.
don't say names, but you put it on there, so we're saying it. So
thank you for sharing that. That's a perfect example of what we were just talking about. And yeah, that says a lot for their parenting, that they parented the 16-year-old where he felt confident enough to come to his parents and present that there something needs to change here. And wow.
Yeah,
that's That's exactly what we're talking about. That's a beautiful example. Thank you, Alice.
Yeah, so we definitely want to do that. Now, is there some more things that we could talk about here regarding, I mean, you've got so many topics, and I look at this, I'm going, well, I could pick out a lot of different areas here, but I know that, you know, you mentioned earlier on like childhood obesity, and it's kind of running into our teens too. Can you give a couple tips real quick that might help parents and their, say, their teenagers that like their junk food every day? Or they skip school or save their money and go to Taco Bell afterwards instead, how they might be able to help their children start making better choices food-wise, especially when they have to keep buying them larger and larger sizes of clothes.
Yes, well, it starts with you, the parent, being the good role model. So start with looking at yourself and, you know, what habits you have and what you're eating and, you know, what your day is like as far as food and exercise is concerned, that you're making healthy choices. And that's, you know, that's where it starts. I mean, that's a big part of parenting. It's just being a role model.
Yeah, because I know that, you know, bringing up the issue of food, especially with teenagers, and you're thinking of body image and all that, because in society and in the media, you know, you see these kids being told they're fat when they're really skinny, and any skinnier, they'd be anorexic. And you have to be so careful when you're talking about food, because as you first mentioned at the beginning of the interview, that we need to eat to live.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way around it.
Yes.
we eventually need to eat something in order to keep our body sustained and our muscles healthy and our heart going and everything else. So how it's such a delicate issue dealing with kids, especially if all of a sudden you just notice that, you know what, my child is a little bit more than what I think is healthy, or the doctor has said, you know, he's got to lose like 50 pounds. I mean, we're talking about a child that's obese, that's more susceptible to diabetes, mm-hmm. health problems, bad joints in the ankles and the knees and other things, and plus ridicule and be made fun of by other students at school. So what's a delicate way to handle that, or how would you coach somebody through that? And I know everybody's individual, so it might differ, but just in general.
I would say it starts with building their self-esteem and their confidence, because we're emotional beings. Everything's connected emotionally. And just like you said, with the food, yeah, we need to eat to live, but what are the emotions behind why we're making certain food choices? And so when you help build that confidence, they're going to make better food choices. And when, you know, you're making better food choices for yourself, that's encouraging them to make better food choices for themselves. Mm-hmm. And offering it, you know, you're the parent, you're the one that does the grocery shopping. So if that's all there is to eat are the fruits and vegetables, or, you know, there's just fruit mm-hmm. snacks instead of Doritos and, you know, cookies and ding dongs, you know, yeah, they may complain initially, but eventually they're going to eat what's there.
Because if they're hungry, they're going to eat.
Yeah, they're going to eat.
Yeah. So I just kept thinking when you said that, I kept thinking about how my mom, I knew where she hid the Cadbury chocolate bar. It used to be up in the cupboard, above the refrigerator, back in the back. And trust me, every time she left the house, I'd be up on a stool, reaching in the back and grabbing a piece of her Cadbury bar. So, you know, parents, you can't hide the junk food from your kids.
Oh,
they know exactly where they are.
They know better than you sometimes.
Absolutely. So, you know, today we're talking to Yvonne Bustamante. She is the founder and 3 Degrees of Fitness here in Southern California. But she's doing this wonderful webinar, and she's offering a free webinar monthly for parents on how to have, you know, teach healthier parenting. Like I said earlier, the topics include all the mental, physical, and social health of raising happy, healthy, and confident children. She also has nine weekly classes through May 16th, which is another series of classes that you could go on and take a look at. Again, her website is 3 Degrees of Fitness. That's the numeral 3, degreesoffitness.com. please feel free to go take a look at that. If you want more information, you can go to our website, which is answers4thefamilyblog.com, and we'll have her information as well as any other information that we may have to share with you. So, Yvonne, thank you so much for being with us today on Answers for the Family. I know Alan was excited to be here, but then he got called away, and I'm sure he may be listening if he can be right now. And please join us again next week as Alan and I will be back for more Answers for the Family.
My pleasure.
You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio.